Father, open our hearts to receive all that you'd have for us today. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. Lord, we want more of you. And we pray, Lord, that we'd receive that today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this summer, my family and I went on a hike. We went on a hike around Lake Tahoe. And it was a beautiful hike. I mean, the lake is beautiful in the summer. And we were walking along this path. And, you know, it was impossible to get lost because it just followed perfectly the contour of the lake. Now, not all hikes are like that. You know, some hikes, we were in the Canadian Rockies a few years ago, Julie and I, and we were in a remote area, and we'd be, you know, hiking along this path, and every once in a while it would branch off into different directions, and we're like going, okay, or we'd be going along, and then all of a sudden there was no path at all. And if it weren't for our compass, it would have been very easy for us to have gotten lost. You know, in life as well, you know, if the path is well laid out, you know, if we know where we're going, then, you know, life is easy. But then when that path goes away, when we're unclear what to do, you know, it's easy to be shaken. You know, we all want the good life, but is there a way that we can have the good life? Is there a path that we can follow? And so what I want you to do today is I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 1, that's all we're doing. Psalm 1. I'm used to saying chapter and verse, but we're just looking at Psalm 1 today. Psalm 1 today. So this is the very first psalm in all of the Bible. And because it's the first psalm, it actually acts kind of as a preface to all of the psalms. And so it's a good psalm for you to know and to know it well. Now you'll notice that the psalm begins with the word blessed. And as the preface to the entire Psalter, Psalm 1 points to the way of the blessed life. Now, in Hebrew, there's actually two words for blessed. This one that's referred to here is never referred to God. There's another word for that, but it's always referred to human beings. And the word here would have been the same word that Jesus would have used in the Beatitudes. So when he said, blessed are the poor, it would have been this word that he would have meant. So blessing means to be fortunate. It means to be prosperous. It's the state where life is going well. It's what the world might say is, wow, you're so lucky. That's what we're talking about here. It's that kind of blessing that's on your life. And so this psalm will describe for us the way to that blessed state of fortune, that blessed state of goodness. Now, when you're young, you think that, you know, that happiness is inevitable. You know, you think that you're going to have this incredible, happy life. You're going to find that special person. You're going to have that job that's going to make you rich. And you know that just right around the corner, if you're just patient enough, it's going to happen. Everything is going to be well. But by the time you get a little older, happiness is inevitable, has been replaced by, well, happiness is unattainable. And it's the difference of like two different famous Shakespearean plays, Much Ado About Nothing and Hamlet. So in Much Ado About Nothing, everybody gets home. Everybody gets to marry the person they want to marry. The person they thought was dead, well, turns out to be alive. And those people you thought betrayed you, well, really didn't betray you. But then you've got Hamlet, where everybody dies in the last scene, and there's in bitterness and disappointment. And so when you're young and naive, you think life is like Much Ado About Nothing. And then when you're old, you think it's more like Hamlet. But Psalm 1 presents a very different view. A blessed life is neither inevitable nor unattainable, but it is possible. So this simple psalm is actually divided this way. And depending on what you're looking at today, if you're looking at the ESV or if you're looking at the Book of Common Prayer, the verses are slightly different. You'll notice one additional verse in the one in our prayer book. But verses 1 through 3 or 1 through 4 describes the characteristic of the blessed. 4 through 5 or 5 through 6, the characteristics of everyone else. And then the last verse, the very first part of it, describes the reason for the blessed, the success of the blessed. And the last part, the announcement of the fate of everybody else. So let's look at the first part here, these very first verses that describe the characteristics of those that are blessed. And we see first what blessed people avoid in verse 1. So it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." So these are three places where you're not going to find blessed people. Blessed people avoid these things. So they're not going to be following the counsel of the godless. They're not going to be standing in the way of sinners. They're not going to be seated among scoffers. You know, and some people have actually viewed this, some scholars have viewed this, as increasing spiraling down to increasingly more evil. So it's the greater the depth of evil that a person falls into. So walking in the counsel of the wicked is a reference to allowing your thinking to be influenced by wicked people. You know, and you read this in Scripture, you know, actually pretty regularly about people who listen to evil counsel and it leads to their downfall. People like Rehoboam and Absalom and Zedekiah. Standing in the way of sinners is one step further into evil. It's when evil is able to influence how you actually behave. So it occurs after you spend a lot of time filling your mind up with listening to things that are evil. Now it gets to the point where you begin to act it out. And therefore, what we fill our mind up is really important, because what we fill our mind up with will eventually influence how we act in the world. Sitting in the seat of scoffers goes even deeper into evil. So where you sit influences where you belong. So in the time of ancient Israel, men sat with men, young people with young people, the old with the old, the rich with the rich. And the psalmist is talking about here where we find our identity. So the epitome of evil is identifying yourself with the scoffers. Now, scoffers are those who laugh and speak about other people in a way that they think that other people are just stupid and silly. And so it's a position of kind of lifting yourself up while putting other people down. It's as if you've made yourself the judge of the world and you know better than everybody else. And don't we see this in so many ways in our society today? There are so many scoffers in our world, and they're found everywhere. Now, moving on, we see what the blessed people actually do in the next verse. It's verse 2. He says, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." So this word law here is the Hebrew word Torah, which I'm sure you've all have heard before. And this word Torah doesn't simply mean the values that Israel lived by. It's not just the things that they did. But what it is that it's God's will and purpose for the very structure of life. This is the way life is supposed to be lived out. So the Torah articulates God's instruction for how blessed people are to live in his creation. And on that Torah, they are to meditate day and night. So I've heard meditating compared to the way a cow chews the cud. So a cow wakes up in the morning. This cow then eats some grass. He chews it for a while, and then he takes a nap. And then he wakes up, he regurgitates that grass that he ate, chews it a bit, gets some more nutrients from it, and then takes another nap. And then the cow wakes up again, and then the cow regurgitates some more of this grass, and he continues to do this until he gets all of the nutrients that's found in that grass. And that's what it does with Scripture, with the words of God, that we just constantly are meditating on it. You know, we bring it up into our lives over and over again so that we're able to take from it all that the Lord has from us. You know, and that means reading Scripture isn't about just reading it fast like a novel, but it really is allowing it to permeate into our minds, into our hearts, taking it all in. You know, I've found over and over again, like I've read, you know, the Scriptures or through the Bible many times, and it's amazing. Every time I do it, I find something new there. There's something more that the Lord is still teaching me, because this is rich. This is the Word of God whose very words are speaking to it. But as we meditate on God's Word, and we do so day and night, there's an impact on our lives, and we find that in verse 3. The blessed person is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. So the blessed person is rooted in the Lord. He's rooted in the Lord so that he constantly receives all of the spiritual nutrients that is needed to be able to live their lives in a fruitful way. So my mother-in-law, when we moved into our house in Yucaipa, gave us this mandarin orange tree, and it was a baby orange tree, and we took that tree and we planted it in the side of our yard. And I was excited because I was looking forward to having oranges that we could actually pick. So 1 year passed, nothing. There were no oranges. Another year passed, still no oranges. Finally, in the third year, it produced like maybe 3 oranges. But it was something. It was something. But, you know, you get frustrated. It's like, well, why are we allowing so much of our soil and land to be given to this tree that doesn't produce any fruit? But then in the fourth year, it produced so many oranges, we had no idea what to do with it all. We couldn't eat them all. We had to give them away. There was that much that was produced. So the habit of prayer and persistent meditation on God's word isn't supposed to be something that's immediately useful. Trees don't bear fruit right away, at least not typically. They first must eat amply from the ground of the earth. They must drink deeply of the water, and they do this in order to build themselves up so that the tree is built up. The fruit comes later. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Fruit comes after the tree is built up. The life of Christian prayer and meditation knows nothing of instant holiness. It is a matter of perseverance and patience. And some trees, like my mandarin orange, will take years to produce fruit. But we aren't to give up. We are to persevere. Because that's the way the life of the blessed person is supposed to be. So in the next 2 verses, the psalmist describes the characteristics of those who are not blessed. And I want you to notice the language in verse 4, maybe verse 5 in the Book of Common Prayer. They are called wicked. Now here's how their life is described. It says they are like chaff that the wind drives away. So in the harvest practices of ancient Israel, they would harvest the grain, they would throw it up in the air, and the husk around that was lighter than the grain itself. And so that part would fly away, that lighter part, while the heavier grain would fall to the floor of the threshing floor. And so that chaff, which this is, that chaff is that part that is trash. It's basically, it's unusable, it's not edible, it flies into the wind. Now, unlike the blessed, the wicked are clearly rootless here, and they have no connection to the source of life. They're blown like the wind. And you can imagine if that's your life, you know, if that's the way your life is, you're constantly blown away, it can be a pretty scary thing, can't it? You know, it can be scary if if you're constantly being blown here and there, not knowing where you're going to land. And a lot of people feel that way. You know, throughout this pandemic, people who never had the coronavirus have been reporting a host of seemingly unrelated symptoms, excruciating headaches, episodes of hair loss, upset stomachs for weeks on end, sudden outbreaks of shingles, or even flare-ups of autoimmune disorders. And it turns out that there's a common thread in all of these symptoms that so many people are experiencing, and that's chronic stress. According to data from Fair Health, there has been a significant increase in the percentage of medical claims related or triggered by stress. The portion of claims for the autoimmune disease of lupus, for example, actually had a huge increase this year, 12% more claims related to lupus during the same period versus last year. Stress occurs when people feel unsafe. You know, whether it's a physical threat or a psychological fear, let's say, of losing your job or of contracting a disease. And the reason for this, the reason that we feel stress is that we were created to be in relationship with God. We were created to be dependent upon Him. We weren't meant to live our lives independently, but to completely rely on Him for our strength. You know, we can get by in life for a while. You know, and I talked about the path being clear. You know, when your life's going well, you're making a lot of money. You have a loving wife, you have a family, you have lots of friends, you have a big house. You know, when all that's going well, you know, it's like, it feels like you can basically do life on your own, doesn't it? But when that foundation gets shaken, as it has during this pandemic, you feel stress. You feel unsafe. And that's the way so many feel today. So the psalmist insists that the blessed person is like a tree with deep roots that's anchored to the Lord. But this, if you think about it, this really is quite an attack on one of the cultural myths that our society believes. And that's the belief that happiness comes from complete freedom. You know, we have this belief, and it's deep inside of us. You know, if I can just decide my own direction, you know, if I can just have control, I don't have to depend on anybody, I can make my own rules, I can define my own meaning, that somehow that's going to bring me freedom. You know, that's what we believe. C.S. Lewis compared those who seek such freedom to the fish that decided that he wants to be free by escaping the water that it's in. And so he flops out of the ocean. But is he truly free and happy? No. In fact, he's going to die because he wasn't created to live outside of water. You and I are made similarly. We're not wired to live on our own. We're not wired to live independently. We're not wired that way. We are created to be in a relationship with our Creator, not to live apart from Him. For the psalmist, life is organized into a very sharp either or. There's no middle ground in the psalm, is there? You know, it doesn't say, okay, now here's the blessed, here's the evil, and here are the people in between. There isn't any of this in the psalm, is there? And it's really consistent, though, with the way Jesus spoke as well. You know, you remember Jesus' words to the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. And Jesus said, I know your works. You are neither cold or hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. And so because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. That doesn't feel very comforting, does it? And I don't think it feels comforting because we're used to living in a world of gray. You know, we like to do things our own way. You know, we know that we're not evil, right? You know, but we don't necessarily feel like we're godly enough to be called the blessed. And so where does that leave us? And I think that's where a lot of people feel. You know, and we hear this all the time when people say, you know, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. So one way to think of Psalm 1 is to think of it as a basic decision that all human beings have to make. Does life come from self-determination, or does life come from embracing the Lord? That's the basic decision that we've been given in life. And as Americans, we have a very long tradition of putting confidence in ourselves. This isn't a new thing of the 2020. So in the 1830s, a French political scientist and historian, Alexis de Tocqueville, came to this country to study the lives of Americans. And he made all kinds of observations that he noticed was unique about the American people. And he wrote all of his observations in two volumes called Democracy in America. And here's one of his famous quotations about the American people. He said this, and this, remember, is back in the 1830s. He said, every citizen is habitually engaged in the contemplation of a very petty object, namely himself. And not much has changed. And so it's no wonder that people are feeling incredibly stressed these days. In the final verse of Psalm 1, the Lord now is the subject. And we read, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. So imagine that. The Lord knows the righteous ones, and they know him because they have an intimate relationship with him. The New Testament reveals why God's word is so critical to human beings. Because the word, it turns out, is God's incarnate son. The eternal word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus. And so, literally, that word is Jesus. The law of the Lord, which is to be our delight in meditation, finds its meaning in Christ. Christ is the one who fulfills it, and he is the key to its understanding. And that's exactly what Jesus told the Pharisees back in John 5 when he said this to the Pharisees, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Everybody wants to have a good life, right? You know, it's just the longing in our hearts. We all want to have a good life. And Scripture actually provides a path to attain it. And it's found as we spend more and more time in the presence of Jesus, God's eternal word. It's not about being good. It's not about being good. You know, we think as long as we are good, that's going to save us. It's not about being good. It's about being in relationship. It's about being in relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, the great gift our Father has given his people. In him and him alone can we find the truly blessed life. Amen.